Let us humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we come before you at this time thanking and praising your name for bringing us together to worship you in spirit and in truth on this, your high holy Sabbath day, the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. As we contemplate, Father, on the time that we have spent together, on the hours that you've given us to worship and praise your holy name, we thank you, Father, for the wilderness experience, for the opportunity to be sanctified and set apart for a holy purpose. We thank you, Father, that you let us know who you are. We thank you, Father, for revealing your Son to us and calling us, Father, out of this sinful world. We know that we strive to be Israel, Father, but not Israel after the flesh, but Israel after the Spirit, because we want to be obedient to each and every one of your commandments. Help us, Father, that we would do your will and that we would go forth and preach and teach this word to all of the cities throughout the world that you've prepared people to hear your word. Father, we know that you can do all things and that you can raise up from the smallest mustard seed, Father, enough faith for each one of us to go forth and move governments, move mountains, Father. Help us to do your will and to do your work in these last days. Again, we thank you, Father, for the blessings that you bestowed upon each and every one of us. Help us to be faithful in all things and help us to yield, Father, to your commandments. And we thank you again for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. It's because of him that we are here, and it's because of him that we have an opportunity at life everlasting. Thank you for calling us, Father. And we thank you because you truly smiled on each and every one of us. It's in Yahshua's holy name that we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. Our opening passage of Scripture, I'd like you to turn over to Luke 9. That's Luke 9, and we'll start in verse 57. I started this feast with the night to be much observed with the question, who is Yahweh? Because Pharaoh posed that question. And now we've answered the question, who Yahweh is, we have another question, who is my neighbor? And this is entitled, who is my neighbor? In Luke 9:57, and as they went on the way, a certain man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Yahshua said to him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the heaven have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Rabbi, permit me first to go and bury my father. But he said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But you go and publish abroad the kingdom of Yahweh. And that's what we're supposed to do, brother. Publish abroad the kingdom of Yahweh. And another also said, I will follow you, Rabbi, but first permit me to bid farewell to them that are in my house. And Yahshua said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of Yahweh. Look over at Luke 17. Luke 17. Keep your place there because we're going to go back. But look over at Luke 17, verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. She looked back. And we know what happened to her. She turned into a pillar of salt. She looked back. We can't look back, brother. We have to look forward. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. Now after these things, the teacher appointed 70 others and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to come. So he was making a circuit. And he said to them, take harvest. He said to them, the harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore, the owner of the harvest, and we know that's Yahweh, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs in the middle of wolves. Carry no purse, nor wallet, nor shoes, and salute no man on the way. And into whatever house you shall enter, first say, peace be unto this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace shall rest upon him. But if not, it shall turn to you again, and in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. In other words, when he sends you to that city, if someone accepts you, and they're going to put you up while you're preaching there, you stay there. You don't go from that house to the next house to the next house to the next house while you're in that city. You stay there, and your peace remains upon that house. And into whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things that are, as are set before you, and heal the sick that are in it, and say to them, the kingdom of Yahweh has come near to you. And I'm telling you today, we can proclaim this. The kingdom of Yahweh has come near to you. To all the people that this message is going to go to. But into whatever city you shall enter, and they receive you not, go out into the street of it and say, even the dust from your city that adheres to our feet we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of Yahweh has come near. I say to you, it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which were done in you, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Just like when Jonah went to Assyria. Assyria was not a Yahweh-fearing country. But after Jonah went and prophesied what Yahweh told him to prophesy, they feared Yahweh and repented. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, that was Joshua's city. Shall you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to the grave. He that hears you hears me. And he that rejects you rejects me. And he that rejects me rejects him that sent me. We want to be Yahweh's servant. We don't want to reject him. We want to hear and accept the word that Yahweh has sent to us. Verse 17. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Teacher, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And this is well before the Holy Spirit was given. Yahshua was still there with them. Yet the demons were subject to them in Yahshua's name. And he said to them, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, O Father, sovereign of heaven and earth, that you hid these things from the wise and understanding and did reveal them to the babes. Yes, Father, for so it was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been delivered to me of my Father, and no one knows who the Son is save the Father, and who the Father is save the Son. So who were they worshiping? Who were the people of Israel worshiping if they were not worshiping Yahweh? All things have been delivered to me of my Father. No one knows who the Son is, save the Father, and who the Father is, save the Son, and he to whomever the Son wills to reveal him. And obviously, Yahshua is willing to reveal Yahweh to us. And turning to his disciples, he said privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I say to you that many prophets and kings desired to see the things which you see and saw them not, and to hear the things which you hear and heard them not. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and made trial of him." And this is the problem with the religious authority during that day. They were too busy trying to make trial of Yahshua, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answering said, "You shall love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, the Shema, Shema Israel, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. And with all your soul and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered right. This do, and you shall live." But he, desiring to justify himself, and that's what's so wrong with our society. People who have education want to show they have education. People who are religious want to show they're religious. People who, you know, have any inkling of anything want to show off. They want to show what they know. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Yahshua, "And who is my neighbor?" Yahshua made answer and said, "A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho." And Jerusalem is up. You got to go up to Jerusalem, so you're going down to Jericho. Jericho was like Palm Springs. It would be here in the United States. It's a nice little resort area. You know, it's pleasant, palm trees and nice weather. Okay, and it's not that far from Jerusalem, but still, that's where they had their summer or their little resort type palaces and things of that nature in Jericho. And he fell among robbers, who both stripped him and beat him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance a certain priest was going down that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He went around him. He went to the other side of the road so he wouldn't have to deal with him. And in like manner, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. He had love for this man. He didn't know him, but he had love for him. And came to him, and bound up his wounds, and pouring on them oil and wine. And he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave to the host and said, "Take care of him. And whatever you spend more, I, when I come back again, will repay you." Which of these three do you think proved neighbor to him that fell among the robbers? And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." And Yahshua said to him, "Go and do you likewise." Now I have a question for you today. Who is your neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Who is your neighbor? See, this certain man, certain Samaritan, turn to John. John 8:48. The Jews answered and said to him, "Say we not well that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" They were trying to accuse Yahshua. Yahshua is our good Samaritan. He picks us up when we've been robbed, when we've been beaten, when we've been injured. He pours on us out of the love in his heart, his compassion, the oil. That oil is represented in Song of Solomon 1:3, the name of Yahweh. Turn over to Song of Solomon 1:3. Your oils have a good fragrance. Your name is as oil poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love you. See, the Levite and the priest represented the religious authority. They represented the shepherds of Israel that were not teaching the people, that were not caring for the sheep. They were too busy making themselves fat, eating of the tithes and the offering and their portion, not caring for those that were sick, those that were hurt. Turn to which one I have here next. Matthew 25, verse 1, it says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For the foolish, when they took their lamps, took no oil. They didn't take the name of Yahweh with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, we know the rest of the story. You can read it later. But you see that this oil that was poured on was representative of the name of Yahweh. It also represented Yahweh's Holy Spirit, which Yahshua comes in the name of Yahshua after we're baptized in Yahshua's name. When the laying on of hands, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, so we need the name of Yahweh and His Holy Spirit to survive in this world, to be able to be ready when Yahshua returns. So He has shown who our neighbor is. We know that our neighbor is Yahweh and Yahshua the Messiah because He cares for us. He has mercy on us. He looks at our sins and forgives them. Jacob, or James 5, verse 14. We'll always start in 13. It says, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the assembly, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of Yahweh. And the prayer of faith shall save him that is sick, and Yahweh will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. So this is what Yahshua has done for us, brethren. He saw us on the road. He saw us as we had fallen among the robbers. And you know what he did for us? He tended our wounds. He tended our sickness. He's healed us through his stripes. Which of these three do you think proved neighbor to him that fell among the robbers? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. And Yahshua said, go and do you likewise. That's what we have to do, brethren. We have to show mercy to even our enemies. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed? The arm of Yahweh is the servant of Yahweh. It's Yahshua the Messiah. See, in the scriptures, Yahweh uses all kinds of euphemism. And the arm of Yahweh, an arm is an appendage. It's a part of you. But Yahweh's arm, his right arm, his strong arm, is his son, Yahshua the Messiah. For he grew up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Yahshua could have been the man that had fallen among the robbers. And we could be the one coming by. Would we have stopped and proved to be a neighbor to him? If the roles were reversed, would we have stopped to do what the Good Samaritan did? Think about it. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, struck of Elohim, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, not for his own, because he had none. He was bruised for our iniquity, because he was sin free. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Yahshua heals us, brethren. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's our sins that put Yahshua to death. He was oppressed, yet when he was afflicted, he opened not his mouth as a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and as a sheep that before its shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who among them considered that he was cut off of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, neither was there deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased Yahweh to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. He shall see it, the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By the knowledge of himself shall my righteous servant justify many, and he shall bear their iniquity. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the plunder with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Matthew 18. I'm going to start in verse 1. Matthew 18, verse 1. In that hour came the disciples to Yahshua, saying, who then is greater in the kingdom? And he called to him a little child and set him in the middle of them and said, truly I say to you, except you turn and become as little children, you shall never enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greater in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. But whoever shall cause one of these little ones that believe on me to stumble, it is profitable for him that a great millstone should be hanged about his neck and that he should be sunk into the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of occasions of stumbling. For it must be that occasions come. But woe to that man through whom the occasion comes. And if your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and cast it from you. It is good for you to enter into life maimed or crippled, rather than having two hands and two feet to be cast into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is good for you to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into Gehenna fire. See that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven the angels do always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man came to save that which is lost. How do you think if any man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountain and seek that which goes astray? And if so be that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Now, I spoke to a lot of the brethren about that Facebook message I got from this sister from our former affiliation that was holding a grudge against me and said that whenever she thought about me, she, you know, made her blood boil. And, you know, I tracked it down. I talked to my wife, and we went back and forth over a couple things that I prayed about. And, of course, I've come up with the person who it was. And it wasn't the person that I said it was originally. But the other person that I mentioned was the one that was the witness against this person. And the other person was suspended. And she's been hating me for 24 years because she said I suspended her from the faith. And, of course, you know, most of you know me, and you know that, one, I didn't have that power or authority. I was carrying out orders, but, no, I didn't suspend anyone. And, you know, I personally was trying to respond to this person to let them know that if I offended them in anything, that I apologize, because that was not my purpose, and that I do love all of Yahweh's people. I'm taught to love even my enemies. So therefore, if I knew that she had a problem with me, I would have went to her and tried to solve it, because that's what you do before Passover. That's what you do before the Day of Atonement. You don't wait, because that bitterness is what will harm you. And you don't want that bitterness. You don't want it. Matthew 18:15. And if your brother sins against you, go show him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not hear you, take with you one or two more, that at the mouth of two witnesses or three, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear, tell it to the assembly, the administration. And if he refuses to hear the administration also, let him be to you as the Gentile and the publican. Just another person. Truly I say to you, whatever things you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever things you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Again, like I said, we want to serve Yahweh. We want to be his servant. In verse 21, then Peter came and said to him, Rabbi, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Until seven times? Joshua says to him, I say not to you until seven times, but until 70 times seven. In other words, as often as that brother comes to you and say, forgive me. But, you know, it's very difficult if we don't know that someone is carrying a grudge or has something against us for us to deal with it, for us to ask for forgiveness. or try to placate that individual. Because we want to be right before Almighty Yahweh. Exodus chapter 2. Exodus 2:11. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown up that he went out to his brethren and looked on their birds, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he killed the Egyptian, and he hid him in the sand. And he went out the second day, and behold, two men of the Hebrews were fighting together. And he said to him, "That did the wrong. Why are you hitting your fellow?" And he said, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Are you thinking to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" And Moses feared and said, "Surely the thing is known." Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Exodus chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to inquire of Elohim, when they have a matter, they come to me, and I judge between a man and his neighbor, and I make them know the statutes of Elohim and his law." And Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you do is not good. You will surely wear away, both you and this people that is with you, for the thing is too heavy for you, and you are not able to perform it yourself alone. Now listen to my voice. I will give you counsel, and Elohim be with you. For the people, a representative of Elohim, and bring the cases to Elohim, and you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and shall show them the way in which they must walk, and the work that they must do. So each one of us has to look and be a ruler of one." It says in verse 21, "Moreover, you shall select out of all the people able men, such as fear Elohim, men of truth, hating unjust gain, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they shall judge themselves. So shall it be easier for yourselves, and they shall bear the burden with you." And this is what we want to do. We want everyone to serve Yahweh and to bear the burden themselves. Exodus chapter 20. Verse 1. Elohim spoke all these words, saying, "I am Yahweh your Elohim, which brought you up, brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." He's freed us. He's given us freedom at this time of the year. He's redeemed his people. "You shall have no other Elohim before me." We can't worship any other mighty one, just Yahweh. "You shall not make a graven image, or any likeness of anything that is heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am a jealous El, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of those that hate me, and showing mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrong use of the name of Yahweh, your Elohim, for Yahweh will not leave unpunished the man who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh, your Elohim. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son, or your daughter, your manservant or your maidservant, or your cattle or the stranger that is within your gate. Everyone must keep the Sabbath. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He also blessed the high Sabbath and the sabbatical year. All of the Sabbaths of Yahweh are holy. Verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which Yahweh your Elohim gives you. We have to show honor for those that bore us, for our parents. You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, or his ox, or his ass, or anything that is your neighbor's. The first four commandments are us to Yahweh. And the second six are us to our neighbor, to our parents, and to everyone else. We wouldn't want them to do these things to us. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This is how you treat your neighbor, the way you want to be treated, brother. Who is my neighbor? All the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the sound of the trumpets and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, speak with us, and we will hear. But let not Elohim speak with us, lest we die. Because they knew they were a sinful people. And Moses said to the people, fear not, for Elohim has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before you, that you sin not. And the people stood off, and Moses drew near to the thick darkness where Elohim was. Read the rest of the chapter yourself later. Turn to Acts chapter 7. Acts 7, verse 22. Acts 7, and verse 22. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and work. But when he was well near 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed. That's what he was doing for his neighbor, for his brethren, striking the Egyptians. And he supposed that his brethren understood that Yahweh, by his hand, was giving them deliverance. But they understood not. And the day following, he appeared to them as they contended, and would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, you are brethren. Why do you wrong one another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made you a ruler and judge over us? And we know Yahweh did. Would you kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday? And Moses fled at this saying and become a sojourner in the land of Midian, where he procreated two sons. And when 40 years were fulfilled, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai in a flame of fire in a bush. And when Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold, there came a voice of Yahweh. I am the Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, of Yitzchak, Isaac, and of Yaakov, Jacob. And Moses trembled and dared not behold. And Yahweh said to him, loose the shoes from your feet, for the place on which you stand is holy ground. I have surely seen the affliction of my people that is in Egypt, and have heard their groaning, and I am come down to deliver them. And now, come, I will send you into Egypt, this Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made you a ruler and a judge? Him has Yahweh sent to be both a ruler and a redeemer with the hand of the angel that appeared to him in the bush. This man led them forth, having worked wonders and signs in Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. I told you the wilderness represents sanctification. This is, it was a period. Each of us has had our wilderness period in our lives to be sanctified, to go through the problems that we had to overcome so that we would be able to serve Yahweh. This is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, A prophet shall Yahweh raise up to you from among your brethren like to me. This is he that was in the assembly in the wilderness with the angel that spoke to him in Mount Sinai with our fathers who received living oracles to give us, to whom our fathers would not be obedient, but thrust him from them and turned back in their hearts to Egypt. Saying to Aaron, Make us Elohim that shall go before us. For as this Moses, who led us forth out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days and brought a sacrifice to the idol and rejoiced in the works of their hands. But Elohim turned and gave them up to serve the host of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophet, did you offer to me killed beasts and sacrifices 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel, and you took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of the Elohim Rephan, the figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of the testimony in the wilderness, even as he appointed who spoke to Moses that he should make it according to the figure that he had seen, which also our fathers in their turn brought in with Joshua when they entered on the possession of the nation that Elohim thrust out before the face of our fathers to the days of David, who found favor in the sight of Elohim and asked to find a habitation for the Elohim of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. However, the Most High dwells not in houses made with hands, as says the prophet, The heaven is my throne, and the earth the footstool of my feet. What manner of house will you build me, says Yahweh? Or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed them that showed before the coming of the righteous one, of whom you have now become betrayers and murderers. You who received the law as it was ordained by angels and kept it not. Now when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up and steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of Yahweh and Yahshua standing on the right hand of Yahweh and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of Yahweh. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed upon him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon Yahweh and saying, Sovereign, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Yahweh, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Who was Stephen's name? He didn't even charge them with the sin of his murder. He asked Yahweh to forgive them, as did Yahshua. turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We know Yahshua said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." But in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "If you were raised together with the Messiah, seek the things that are above, where the Messiah is, seated on the right hand of Yahweh. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. For you died, and your life is hid with the Messiah in Yahweh. When the Messiah, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall you also be manifested with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of Yahweh comes upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked, when you lived in these things. But now do you also put them away? Anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. Do not speak falsely to each other, having put off the old man with his doing, and having put on the new man, that the image is him that created him, where there cannot be Greek or Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bondman, freeman, but the Messiah is all in all. Put on, therefore, as Yahweh's elect, holy and beloved, the heart of compassion, like Yahshua had for his people, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving each other. Brethren, we cannot hold grudges. We cannot say that we are Yahweh's people and hold grudges. We have to forgive each other, or Yahweh will not forgive us. If any man have a complaint against any, even as the Master forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of the Messiah rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of the Messiah dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms, anthems, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to Yahweh. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the sovereign Yahshua, giving thanks to Yahweh, the Father, through him. Because truly, Yahweh is our neighbor. He sent us his son to die for our sins. For our sins, not his. Yahshua is perfect. He did no sin. But he died for our sins. Ecclesiastes 11. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you shall find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, yes, even to eight, for you know not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falls, there shall it be. He that observes the wind shall not sow, and he that regards the clouds shall not reap. As you know, not what is the way of the wind, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so you know not the work of Elohim, who does all. In the morning sow you seed, and in the evening withhold not your hand. For you know not which shall prosper, whether this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly, the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing is in for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth, and walk in the ways of your heart, and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things, Elohim will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for the youth and dawn of life are vanity. They're vanity, brother. Psalm 86, verse 11. Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me your way, O Yahweh. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Yahweh, my Elohim, with my whole heart. And I will glorify your name forever. For great is your loving kindness toward me. And you have delivered my soul from the lowest Sheol, from the grave. O Elohim, the proud have risen up against me, and a company of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set me before them. But you, O Yahweh, are an El, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness and truth. O turn to me, and have mercy upon me. And truly, this is what Yahshua has done. He's had mercy on each one of us. None of us are perfect. All of us have sinned, brother. All of us. There's not one that cannot say that they have not sinned. But Yahshua has shown each and every one of us mercy. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they who hate me may see it and be put to shame, because you, Yahweh, have helped me and comforted me. They who hate me, they see it and be put to shame. The neighbors will be able to see what Yahweh does for us. They're going to see the blessing that you receive. Therefore, they will praise Yahweh if they are converted. If we do the right thing and witnessing to them the glorious, magnificent things that Yahweh has done for each and every one of us. Luke chapter 23. Luke 23. We're going to start in verse 33. Luke 23:33. And when they came to the place which is called the skull, there they impaled him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Yahshua said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And parting his garments among them, they cast lots. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also scoffed at him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if this is the Messiah of Elohim, his chosen. See, they questioned. They were so full of themselves that they questioned instead of looking into the scrolls and seeing in the scriptures what Yahshua had to go through. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, offering him vinegar, and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And there was also a superscription over him, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors that were hanged railed on him, saying, Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other answered him, rebuking him, saying, Do you not even fear Elohim, seeing you are in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. For this man has done nothing amiss. And he said, Yahshua, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, Truly, I say to you today, you shall be with me in paradise. Not that he was going to be there today, but he told him that day, today, you shall be with me in paradise, because he understood where he was. And Yahshua did say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And truly, we don't. You think about it. When we sin, are we in our right mind? No, we don't know what's going on. You know, we don't sin willfully, but if you do, there's no hope if you do. John 11. John 11, verse 24. We'll read the verse 27. Martha says to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She's talking about her brother Lazarus. Yahshua said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Brethren, we have to understand Yahweh is our neighbor, and Yahshua is too. Yahshua is trying to heal each and every one of us. He's trying to show us the direction to the kingdom. He that believes on me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes on me shall never die. They're never going to suffer the second death. Do you believe this? She says to him, yes, Rabbi, I have believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of Yahweh, even he that comes into the world. My closing passage is going to be from Acts chapter 12. Turn to Acts chapter 12. Who is our neighbor? Now about that time, Herod, the king, put forth his hands to afflict certain of the assembly, and he killed Jacob, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews that he killed Jacob, the brother of John, one of the apostles, one of the 12, he proceeded to seize Peter also. And those were the days of unleavened bread. So this is during the feast that this happened. And when he had taken him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the 4 quaternions of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover, after the feast, to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made earnestly of the assembly to Yahweh for him. And when Herod was about to bring him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and guards before the door kept the prison. And behold, an angel of Yahweh stood by him, and a light shined in the cell, and he struck Peter on his side and awoke him, saying, rise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, gird yourself and bind on your sandals. And he did so. And he says to him, cast your garments out and follow me. And he went out and followed. And he knew not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. It just opened up. And they went out and passed on through 1 street, and straightway the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he says, now I know of a truth that Yahweh has sent forth his angel and delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews, for they wanted him dead. They wanted their neighbor, Peter, to die because of his belief. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Miriam, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gate, a maid came to answer, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for joy, but ran in and told that Peter stood before the gate. And they said to her, you are mad. But she confidently affirmed that it was even so. And they said, it is an angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened, they saw him and were amazed. But he, beckoning to them with the hand to hold their peace, declared to them how Yahweh had brought him forth out of the prison, brethren. Yahweh is our neighbor, and he's looking out for his people. And he said, tell these things to Jacob and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers that had what had become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Now he was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, and they came with one accord to him, having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend. They asked for peace because their country was fed from the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod arrayed himself in royal apparel and sat on the throne and made an oration to them. And the people shouted, saying, the voice of a mighty one and not of a man. And immediately an angel of Yahweh struck him because he gave not Elohim the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the spirit. But the word of Yahweh grew and multiplied. Even though Herod was trying to destroy the word of Yahweh and kill and put to death the apostles and the followers of Yahshua, he himself got judged. Yahweh blessed him. He was the king. But he did not conform. He didn't want to be Yahweh's neighbor. He didn't want to give Yahweh the glory. Therefore, Yahweh condemned him. He was struck with worms and died. See, when Yahweh gives you a blessing, give him the glory, because Yahweh is our neighbor. And he wants us to understand that it's him and through his son's blood, Yahshua the Messiah, is the only thing that has given us an opportunity of life everlasting. So, brethren, let us grasp and hold on to this special blessing that Almighty Yahweh has given us during this Feast of Unleavened Bread. He has given us the life of his son, Yahshua the Messiah, who is our neighbor, who loved us even to death, the death of the torture stake. He did this for each and every one of us. So now that we know who is our neighbor, let us keep this in the forefront of our mind as we count the count of the Omer towards Pentecost, so that we can come together again and worship and praise and give glory to Almighty Yahweh for all of the blessings that he's bestowed upon each and every one of us. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Charlie if he would close with a word of prayer.